Thank you. We'll dismiss the juniors to junior church. And I ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy in the 4th chapter. Second Timothy chapter 4. Wow. If this is being heard downstairs, get ready, okay? That's a crowd headed your way. Praise God for that, too. It is just a wonderful thing. For our visitors, we're ending up 6 years of ministry here at the end of this month, and that's a sight that 6 years ago you wouldn't see. All those kids in the church and that kind of life. And that is really something. It's also a lot of work for those folks downstairs, but we just praise the Lord for seeing a new generation of that age in the church. For 2 Timothy chapter 4, I just wanted to read for you the first five verses. I'll read from the New King James Version this morning. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. It's just a wonderful thing to, as a church, to recognize the gifts in someone. Trying to make this plain, and in our business meeting, we set it forth. Ordination by a church says, we recognize in you the calling of God to be a senior pastor. That's what an ordination is. Ordination involves several steps because of the unique nature of the office. The ordination, we have a council. There's a long examination of looking at that candidate in particular in relation to the pastorate, the senior pastorate. Licensing says, we recognize you more generally as one who has the commission to preach the word of God in other capacities. Pastorate is a small, very narrow, very exclusive kind of ministry for which I think the Lord has you headed in your future. I believe that. Now we are saying, we're licensing you to do what it says here, to preach the word. And when we do this, again, it's a wonderful thing. It's like a graduation service. You're watching someone having ministered. This church has seen Mark grow in the pulpit, in his teaching ministry, has seen so many things. And you want to have it like a family atmosphere on the one hand, but I want to add the other element from verse 1. You won't answer to us if you don't preach the word. I'm not calling you to account to preach the word before this congregation. Like Paul, we are calling you and charging you before Jesus Christ. Your obligation to preach doesn't come from us. We're not giving you an obligation to preach. When we voted to license you, we were recognizing that God had laid an obligation on you to preach. And like Paul, for the rest of your life, you'll have to say, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. That this obligation is something that you have understood and we have recognized but it didn't come from you and it didn't come from us. And he says, I do it in front of Jesus Christ. And the picture he sets is that you'll be standing one day in front of the heavenly host, and you're going to have to give an answer for your ministry. You're going to have to answer to Christ for everything that you do. And there comes a time, and I don't care whether your ministry is a pastor, whether your ministry is a teacher, whether a ministry God has given to you of discipling someone, whatever that is, everyone who is sitting here today, a born-again believer, is going to have to answer to God. What have you done with your ministry? Paul made that very plain in 1 Corinthians 3. He says, you're building on what I started, but you're going to have to answer the quality of your own workmanship. And that's a pretty awesome thing when you understand that what we do here today, it could be 10,000 years from now, but Christ is going to bring to your remembrance. He's going to say, you were charged in my presence on May 9th, 1999, to preach the gospel. Did you do it? That's a pretty awesome responsibility. Paul constantly talks to Timothy. Now, he deals with pastoral things in other sections, but here, preach the word. That's that word that means to act as an ambassador with the word, to take the word and to stand up in front of people, not from your own mouth, not from your own lips, but as a representative of the kingdom of God and of your King, Jesus Christ. That means that when you do so, you do it without any fear. We're now in negotiations to try to end that war in, well, in that whole part of the world, but particularly a war against Serbia. We don't want our ambassador in there making excuses for us. We have sent our ambassador to them because we feel that they're practicing genocide on a people because 700 years ago, ancestors committed genocide against them, and we won't stand for that anymore. We're part of an alliance. When our ambassador stands in front of that country, we want peace. We want to speak to their heart, but we're standing in the right. And our ambassador stands up there, and we want dignity to say, I represent these people. And you stand in front of people representing Jesus Christ. You're preaching the word. But it doesn't say, and this is so key, it doesn't say preach from the word. It doesn't say preach about the word. It says preach the word. We're, as people, we're losing our taste for, when they stand up front, are they giving us the words of God? Do I see the Bible? Or is it a message constructed from the Bible? You're not to preach messages, you're to preach the Bible. You're to stand up there and say, this is what God says, now let me explain it to you. This is what God says, now let me explain it to you. And it can easily get diverted into coming up with a good message or coming up with something from the Bible. Never preach from the Bible, always preach the Bible. When they're done, they come out of there with the word of God. Because it's his word you're speaking, you're an ambassador. The ambassador doesn't make up what he's going to say, it comes right from God. As an ambassador of Jesus Christ, you have to say, these are God's words and I'm explaining them to you. That's what Paul wants Timothy to do. And then he says to him, be at hand, be ready, be ever present, be on the spot. The King James says, in season, out of season. Okay? I want to connect this. One of the problems with Bible translations is they take the same words and translate them two different ways within one verse. If you'll put a box around the word be ready in your Bible, in verse 2, and then go down to verse 3 and put a box around the words will come, they're the same word. One has a little preposition in front of it, but the same word. Now, see the word in season? Circle the word season. Put a circle around that. And then in verse 3, put a circle around the word time. That's the same word. Taken together, verse 2 and verse 3, if you were reading them in the original languages, are the same thing. He says, I want you to be Johnny on the spot. I want you to be at hand at any time because the time is at hand when people won't listen to you. I want you to say, I don't care what the circumstances. Time in, time out. I am committed to doing what I should do. I am at hand and ready to do it because the time is at hand facing me when people won't be ready for me to do it. It's a nice thing today. We're telling you, preach the word. That's fine and dandy until you preach the word and tell somebody and you're wrong and have to change. Trust me on this one, okay? It's great when the pastor preaches and says, this is what the Bible says, but when you sit down with somebody and say, and this is what you need to do, then you find that it's not so fine and dandy. That's when it's out of season. There is no open season for it. You have a commission from God, and you're not doing it when you think it's right. You're not doing it when you think the time is right. You're doing it because God has told you to do it, and it's always the time. And he says there, I'm going to move to finish verse 3 before we come up to verse 2. The time will come when people don't want sound doctrine. That's that word, we get our word hygienic from it. Sound doesn't mean sound in the sense of this is a sound pulpit because it's firm. It means it's healthy. It's healthful. When you're preaching to people, you're preaching to their spiritual health. And there comes a point where many people don't want to hear that because it hurts. And it is actually painful at times to deal with your spiritual health. When a bone is broken, I have done this. And when you can give Stephanie a flower to wear, at that point you will learn some lessons and your children will not want to go to the doctors. They will not want to go to the dentist. I don't want to go to the dentist. They sit there like some sadist, revving it up like it's not going to work, you know. I don't want to go there, okay? And I must admit, I can't endure healthy, those kinds of things. So I just say, put me to sleep, wake me up when it's all over, you know. You can't do that spiritually. It doesn't work. And it is not a pleasant thing for people that you're doing when you're in it. I don't want to make it seem any more than what it is. It is just like taking your child sometimes to the emergency room. It'll be the most painful thing you've done because it's painful for them. I actually came in playing with my brothers, and one of them helped me to break my arm. Came in the house, and I was holding my arm and crying. And I had a Dutch mother, and Dutch mothers are tough. Stop that crying. What's wrong with you? I let my hand drop, and it hung off at an angle. My mom turned white as a sheet, you know, and things started to happen real quickly. She was real good to me for about a week after that, you know. If I'd only recognized the signs, and I could have turned that crank and got maybe 2 weeks out of it. But when they took me in to set that bone, it was so painful. I can still remember the smell. They used to put ether in that cold, rotten ether smell. And yet, when I woke up, it was all set. That's health work you're doing, and it's painful. And you got to be ready to do it at all times. You're the emergency room doctor. You can't be crying when somebody comes in terrible condition. You can't be overwhelmed by it. You've got to be ready to do it at every season. You've got to be a career, a committed, a called preacher of the gospel. Because there's going to be times when you're not ready to do it personally. But you're ready because you're standing in the presence of God and it's time to do it. And they don't want to hear it. It says they'll heap up itching ears. If you ever scratch a dog, that's exactly what it is. Right back here. And they love it when you scratch the back of your neck. And they'll actually turn their heads to hit the right portion. Now over here. That's it. Then they get on their backs like, you got it now. And their foot comes out. We got a whole generation of you got it now Christians. They can use their radio and their TV. I don't like what this one said, or this guy's not pretty. I don't like that. And they turn the dial and they get it over here. Yeah, that's it. And finally, okay, great. And if they don't like what you have to say, they'll find somebody else. That's how it is. You have to say, my job is to give you the health. My job is to give you the spiritual word from God. And I'll do it according to what we're going to see in verse 2, but I will do it. Notice what he says. Your job, convince. That's the word that means to expose. Expose, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. That's the job. It takes time. It's not something that people are going to listen to you and walk out and say, all better now. It doesn't work that way. But you have to start by exposing. And that's a difficult thing to do. The pressure not to expose is enormous. People don't want things exposed in their life and other people's life. We can get to the point sometimes as a church where our sense of love and fellowship is so great that the exposure hurts. And it's your job to open it up and to say, I'm going to show things for as they are in the light of the Word. And to rebuke, to say that's not wrong, that is not to be tolerated. Then to exhort, to encourage, to admonish, to warn and say, come on, you can do it. I know you can do it. God is working inside of you. It's not you who has to make this effort, it's God. And what you have to do is draw upon the strength of God. And you do it with long-suffering and teaching. Long-suffering is hard. Peter says, you know, people count the long-suffering as God as an excuse for wanton sin. When you are more and more patient, they get more and more wicked. And that happens. Long-suffering sometimes is difficult. Sometimes the easiest and the quickest route is just to stomp on it. It's not the biblical route. It's not the route. He in 1 Timothy, Paul had told him, he says, I want you to demonstrate a spirit of meekness towards those who will stand in opposition to you and to what you teach. To be patient with all men. And he said, and with teaching. You have to show them and point out from the Scripture. It's not your job simply to say, this is what's right and this is what's wrong. You've got to know this Bible well enough that you can take them and say, here's what the Bible says about your instance. For you to preach this word is going to require a lot more than the preparation of messages. There are people who believe that your job is Sunday and that you've got 6 days off. You know, they will believe that, and you can't deal with that. You have to be a student of this word 7 days a week so that you're thoroughly immersed in it. So that when somebody comes to you with a question, you can answer it. Somebody comes and says, I have this need. And you can take them to the Bible and say, this is what the Bible says. You can show them principles of God's Word. That's your job. You are to rebuke, reprove, exhort with teaching. Not just with putting your foot down and putting your fist down. You're to show them from the Word. He says in verse 5, be watchful. Pay attention. This whole book, by the way, is filled with that word, pay attention. Earlier he said, you pay attention to your own life and to your own teaching. He said, you watch out for your life. You're a big target, okay? You are a big target for Satan now. I don't believe that every time a person sins, Satan directed them to sin. You got a nice old sin nature in you that's doing work overtime. You can't blame Satan. He doesn't get around that much, you know. You stole the cookies from the cookie jar. I don't want to hear that Satan was involved in it, you know. Okay, maybe something bigger, but I'm not sure he's got time for cookies. You know, he's a pretty busy being, all right. But the people going into the ministry, those people who are new in the ministry are targets. You've got to be so watchful. You've got to watch your heart. You've got to watch your attitude. You've got to watch how you respond to what happens in your first church. I was speaking to Pastor Seaver today. He was Dave Rising's former pastor, talking to him about churches, and he was talking about the trials of pastoring in New Jersey. Okay, you could tell he's from New York State when you preach about New Jersey, when you're talking about New Jersey as an entity, as if every New Jerseyite is the same. You know, he was talking about that, and he said, "You know, if that had been my first church, he said, I wouldn't have had a second." Satan loves that people give up, that people can't stick by the stuff. The next word is endure afflictions. You are in a position now that other people in the church are not. And there will be terrible things that can come into your life. Terrible things that other people can say, I would give into that. I would fall under that. You can't. He says, endure affliction. Same word earlier. He said, you're a good soldier of Jesus Christ in chapter 2. Endure afflictions as a soldier. The things you may have to put up with are greater than what other people will put up with because you have a greater enemy and you have a greater calling. But you've got the same Lord. And you just show them, I don't have greater power than you. I don't have greater resources than you. It's your job to take these greater challenges and to say, but I got the same resource you have, and I can go through it, and so can you. And expect it. And it'll come into your marriage. It'll come into your personal life. It'll come into friendships. It'll come into betrayals. People think that, you know, the way Satan works on ministers is the way that he worked on old Jimmy Swagger. You know, I have sinned several times again. You know, and that he gets at him through that wild, wild woman. I've never met the wild, wild woman. You know, my wife can attest to that. You know, I met the mild, mild woman, and God took care of it for me. The challenges come from other places. You'll have a weakness someplace, and there's where the lever, there's where the crowbar goes. And you need to identify that and to say, I will endure these afflictions because I'm called to something higher. Do the work of an evangelist. Again, we're not calling you to pastor. We're not calling you or commissioning you to the mission field. Do the work of an evangelist. You stand before the world and tell them who Jesus Christ is. You tell them who and what you've been sent to do, that you have a Savior who turns the hearts and minds of men back to their Creator, who can do anything. And you make sure whatever ministry you're in, this is part of it. You're constantly talking to people about Jesus Christ. It's so easy to talk to Christians and to become exclusively oriented towards the sheep and not to be oriented towards the world. Fulfill your ministry. It doesn't matter what you say today. It's what you're going to say 25 years from now and 50 years from now. Are you going to be able to say, I fulfilled my ministry? Are you going to have the testimony and say, what God gave me to do, I did? There's a fair percentage of people who are called as you are, licensed to preach today, who can't say that. A large percentage who have spun out for some reason. Paul talked about them. I don't want to be set on the shelf. Shipwrecked, as it were. I don't want to be in that position. Today, you've got a heart that's right and a commitment we've seen. You've got the gifts and you've got the work of the Spirit. But are you going to have the testimony when you're done that you fulfill? Paul said, I do. He says, I fought the race. I finished the race. I fought the fight. I fulfilled my ministry. It's time for you to do the same. And that's what the church is calling you to do. Most of the people sitting here will never know if you fulfill your ministry. But you weren't charged by these people. You were charged by Jesus Christ, and He'll know. And the answer when you get to heaven won't be, how many people have I led to the Lord? Won't be, I did this, and I built this church, and I have all these things. Christ will say, did you fulfill the ministry that was given to you? Did you do it all? You don't graduate from college unless they can say you fulfilled all the requirements. In fact, it's very formal. Do you faculty have to sit up there and listen to the registrar say very formally, Mr. President, all these here present today have fulfilled all the obligations pertaining to such and such degree with that classic line, and they are entitled to the degree and all the rights and privileges thereunto. Rights and privileges? What are those? You're entitled to an alumni letter asking for money every month is what you're entitled to, okay? Have you ever figured out what are my rights and privileges? Degree grants you no rights and no privileges. It just says you fulfilled the course. And our graduates from every step of the way have fulfilled the obligations, and that's all that's asked of them. And that's all anybody can ask for. And we are so proud of what God has done in your life. Let's pray, and then we'll move to the licensing portion of our service. Oh, Father, what a wonderful God you are. I praise you for the things that you do as a church. You allow us to have a part in the lives and in the ministry of men that you're going to use in a mighty way. You allow us to see their progress, to see their profiting. I praise you for that, Father. I just ask that you might give us an appreciation for the ongoing handing over of the ministry to another generation, May we never fail in that responsibility as a local church. I pray, Father, that you might bless Mark and Stephanie. I ask that you might give them a sense of our confidence in them, what we have seen in them, that it's not just them, it's what other people have seen. And Father, may each of us be committed to your word and to the Holy Spirit who has enlightened our hearts to it. Who we are and what we are, we do in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing one verse of hymn 103 while Pastor Mark and the deacons come forward over here to my right. 103. Let's stand, please, together. Twofold. First, I'm going to ask the deacons, this is a certificate of license. We're actually commending Mark to other churches. It's a way of telling other churches, we have seen the gifts in this man and you can trust him to preach for you. Okay, and that's what this certificate says. It reads, his license to preach the gospel, perform marriages, administer the sacraments, and direct other functions of the ministry. We're Baptist and we don't have sacraments, so we're changing that to minister in sacramento. Okay, so, you know, I'll get somebody to write that one in there, but it's all here. And the first thing I'm going to do is to ask the deacons to sign this right here at this time, one by one. There are four spots on either side to sign your name. Come back and gather around Mark over here. It's very important to me that when you have a document like this, the church clerk has signed it because we voted to do it as a church. We're not licensing Mark, the church is doing it, but the more signatures you have on a document, it shows to me the validity of it. It's not one person, and it means a lot. And I have, on my ordination certificate downstairs, and therefore on this side, I have the names of, it's just filled up with the names of the people who were present. And the deacons are doing so as representatives of the church. Some of the names you'll actually be able to read in the future. Others you'll look back in future years. We'll come over here. Part of licensing and ordination is laying on of hands. We are not conferring any power. Lord willing, there'll be no static electricity, so nothing is transferred from the hands, but it is a way of saying what God has shown to us, the ministry that we have as a church, we are now committing to you. And that's what the laying on of hands does. I'll ask the Mark if you would gather there, and if the deacons would gather around and lay hands on Mark's head, basically on his head or on somebody else's hand. Oh. I'll come in from the side. Let's pray, shall we? Oh, Father, you've been so good to us. You've given us in this church men who want to serve you, men, Father, who come to us trained elsewhere, but that we as a church can show your love. We can show them what it means to minister in a gospel-preaching local church.
I pray, Father, now that you would continue to make Mark faithful. I pray that the strength and the wisdom that you've given to him may grow. I pray, Father, that as a man of God, his testimony might always be that Jesus Christ is seen in and through him. I'd ask, Father, that from this day, that he might have a renewed confidence, because as Paul said, others have seen it in you. And this ministry you've received, Father, isn't just of you, it's come through others. And I'd ask, Father, that he might in turn train others for the ministry, that he might grow to a place where we see countless generations of preachers coming forth. Make us as a church so appreciative, and we'll look to you in that last day when we stand before the judgment throne for your commendation on what we do. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Give you something permanent, and because the pastor likes to take with his name on it, he thought we'd just give you something that says, Pastor Mark Polinsky, live love, a personal master. Hopefully, I can't tell you how long it'll keep true time, but it looks like I'm dead. And that's all that really matters. Word of testimony? Bye. that.